T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's less. $11?
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein, Layla Rahimi,
David Dusek.
Can you guys do me one favor?
What?
Can you pass along a message to Javi Baez to take a pitch once in a while?
Done. We will.
Please.
Yeah, we'll send a
all right.
Carrier pigeon.
Give him my love, but just see if you can get walked once in a while. Just try it.
A few moments later.
Here's the 0-1 to Baez. Swung on, hit in the air, deep center field. Back goes Pilar to the wall. Gone. Tape measure, homer to dead center for Javier Baez.
The garbage can signaling went on in the postseason.
Into right field, down the line, into the corner it goes. Lamb flucks it out of the corner. Gurriel's around third, and he is safe. The Astros walk it off on an RBI double from Yordan Alvarez. Houston wins 2-1 in game 2 of this series.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
With Bernstein and really Mahimi.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Asking for a piece of metal back.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And a happy Monday to you, a happy summer to you. There's a lot going on today. It is the official start of summer. It is also the end of sticky stuff as of today for MLB pitchers. So we mark this post Father's Day Monday for those reasons. And today we are going to talk about that change in baseball. We're also going to have a conversation with Danny Parkins about this big week for him. It's a huge deal. He's done so much work going into Wednesday's Radiothon that he's going to do the What About Chicago Radiothon for. It's really just a wonderful cause. He's going to explain everything and give us all of the details on that coming up at 10. Rick Camp is going to talk NBA with us, eventful NBA weekend. That's at 10:25. I've got a midday midway that also is going to involve Jay Zawoski of the I'm Fat podcast today, because I think my mother invented a new seasoning slash condiment. That it was, and I tried it yesterday. It's something. It was a new use for something, and it kind of works. So it's a discovery, and I think you should know about it. Sahadev Sharma writes Cubs for The Athletic. He'll join us at 11, and then we'll recap the U.S. Open. You can cross another name off the best players never to win a major list as John Rahm comes up with a putt for the ages on 18 to put himself ahead of Louis Oosthuizen and win the U.S. Open. Andy Johnson of the Fried Egg is going to join us to talk a little bit of golf. We'll have surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is the number here at WSCR. The Score, we call it The Score Listener Line. It's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I should mention that I'm going to be solo all week, excluding the Parkins Radiothon, of which I'll be a part because he's really sort of running the show there. But Layla's got the week off. She's on vacation, so it's going to be just us in this time slot for this week, and we'll hang out, and it'll be no less fun, I promise you that, here on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. If you want to send a text, you text the text zone. That's Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Your emails can go to BernsteinRahimi@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Twitter is at BernsteinRahimi. My personal feed, if you want to follow me there, is at Dan_Bernstein. Do download the Odyssey app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. There is the Twitch stream as well. You want to avail yourself of that because that is fun and fast and furious at twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertsch are in charge of the Twitch stream. That's that camera right there. That's the primary one, I think. And then there's other things. You can see our guests often join us on Twitch, and we share links in there, but you want to come out and hang out on Twitch. We have Jay Zawoski, our executive producer, and Jordan Malley, the disappearing man. He was Lobster Man and then disappearing invisible Lobster Man. I don't know what it is about people who sit in that seat. First, our guy Rick Camp is the guy that goes to the wrong Super Bowl party, right? That famous story. So on Friday after the show, we had a lovely show lunch. Mitch Rosen was kind enough to take us out, and we just had a really beautiful table over at the Palm, and Jordan was going to come meet us. Everybody knew us. It's the Palm. It's right around the corner. You just go down Wackers and the Swiss Hotel. You go there, and we're waiting, and Jordan's not there, and we text him, and he's not there. And we're thinking, how could he not be here? And he apparently walked in the wrong direction to the wrong place entirely, because we said the Palm, and Jordan apparently took that as the Palmer House, which is a different place. That's a completely different hotel in a completely different part of town, and it's very much not the Palm restaurant.
It's so, very much not 5-minute walk away either. And that's also, mind you,
such an idiot.
I was trying to go downstairs to the parking garage to change, also be quick enough so I beat everybody else that's here at the station there so I could sit down, get the reservation. So I'm moving quick. I just typed the Palm into my phone in the directions, and it's like, okay, 5-minute walk, it's telling me. I'm mm-hmm. like, all right, not bad. That's what everybody said. I start going the opposite direction. I'm like, this is way farther than a 5-minute walk. Mind you, too, it's 95 degrees.
Right, so maybe the fact that it's way farther, that's when the switch should flip and say, you know, this might not be the place where I'm supposed to walk. And it can't be that everybody else is wrong about where it is.
You're right. But again, I don't go out to restaurants in the city that often. You're talking to a kid who grew up in the suburbs, too. So things are still a little bit unfamiliar here to me, too. So I was like, all right, let me just walk. Maybe it is inside the hotel. And sure enough, nope.
So you get to the Palmer House, and then within the Palmer House, you're walking around looking for a place called the Palm. It's like there's two restaurants. There's the Palm, and then there's the House. It's like it's a German restaurant.
I saw a salon.
Is it like the House? Here's the Palm, and here's House.
I saw a salon that was closed too, and then I saw Starbucks, and it's a very narrow hallway wherever yep. I walked into, and I was like, okay, this is clearly not where I'm supposed to be. There was two guys standing there too, chatting. I was like, I'm not even going to ask them because I know I'm for sure in the wrong place. So I get out, and then Jay, as soon as I walked out of the Palmer House and knew I was in the wrong place, Jay goes, did you die? Where are you? And I was like, yep, walked to the wrong place.
And that was it. And then knowing how long it was going to take you to get back to the right place, he bailed, and he was done for the day.
He did the right thing.
I think so.
I would have bailed too. Just covered in sweat, embarrassed. Everyone's waiting. It's like, you know what? Just eat without me. I'm not going to be there for a half hour. Yeah. Jordan did the right thing, I think.
Let's not forget, too, the sunburns on my face. So now I'm going to show up with the sunburns on my face, the scab on my nose, covered in sweat. And your brain is fried after a 3-hour radio show.
Right.
So it's just like, I felt like a zombie, and I was like, you know what? Let's just end the week. Let's just go home. Let's end the week.
Just call it. Just
take the L.
Bang the game. Take the L. Put the tarp on the field and head home. Yep. But you missed out on one of the great burgers. I have to tell you, the Jay Zawoski took one look at that menu, and he's like, I think I have to get this. And I think you did the right thing. I don't know how you didn't have to immediately nap.
Well, no, I have burgers all the time. It's not a problem for me. My body is adapted where I don't need a nap all the time. Is it Wagyu? Am I saying it right?
Wagyu.
Wagyu. A Wagyu burger.
Wagyu too.
With prosciutto butter. Yep. When I saw the words prosciutto butter,
yep.
I said, that sounds like a thing I want. And I got it, and I'm very glad I did.
Prosciutto butter and grilled shishito peppers.
It was, and what did you tell me? One in six shishitos are hot?
That was the advice that I got. The first time I had shishito peppers at a robotic grill, they said it was, and the robot umpire served us too, that they said one out of every six has some heat. And,
well,
and you don't know.
I had five, apparently.
Really?
Because there was zero heat on mine. It was fine. It added a nice texture and flavor, but there was no heat.
Okay, I mean, that's all right. I was impressed. If I had done that, my day would be shot. I'd have to immediately go home and go to sleep and feel shame. But
I just went to a bakery instead. I really did. We went to Sweet Mandy B's after that because, you know, I still had some room.
Yeah, more power to you. And happy. I hope people enjoyed a lovely Father's Day weekend, and I hope it was as fulfilling and entertaining as mine was. I just wish that the baseball had kept up because that Sox thing, that is the old kick in the ass there that tells you, okay, slow your roll. And that's what it looks like when they have better players than you do, because the lineup the White Sox are putting out there, it just really hasn't been all that good, and they've gotten incredibly lucky, and the starting pitching had been carrying them, and when it doesn't, when you had those, it just, non-competitive games just suck. When you just sort of feel like, oh, I'm not going to take the time to sit. And I like having baseball on, and I did, and I flip around a little bit. But when then other things get compelling and you drift away. But that's the old heat check there for your White Sox and our White Sox. And it's, I think La Russa summed it up best when he just said, you know, basically said what it was. And they got clobbered. What's wrong with Yoan Moncada in the field? That looks mental. That looks yippy to me. And some of those throws, I know Gordon Beckham did a good job pointing out his footwork, but I'm a little concerned for a guy who's that usually reliable and athletic that from last year dealing with COVID to this like intense sinus infection, whatever he had, and now he can't throw. Not real comfortable to see that because that's their best player. That's the White Sox best player. And right now when the best player is struggling a bit, it's no fun. And they need to figure this out and right the ship a little bit. 312-644-6767. If you want to jump in, it was a weekend where the golf leaderboard just kept getting better. And everything that kept happening, just you kept seeing another name. And then people on the fringes, or Dustin Johnson is 2 under. And you start to sort of see, ooh, this is starting to get good. And they played well enough. And we got to watch DeChambeau suck. So that was its own kind of pleasure. The DeChambeaugies were a thing. And just sort of allowing that to warm the cockles of our sports heart. Speaking of which, I don't want to step on the lead here either, because there's some breaking news that is occurring in the world of sports right now. And that is that the Supreme Court has just issued a unanimous ruling that is reaffirming the fact that amateurism as we know it in college sports, the definition is going to change, because they are saying that there's now federal antitrust prevention of some of what college sports, what the NCAA is trying to do to limit compensation for players. And this is unanimous. And when we're nodding along to a concurring opinion written by Brett Kavanaugh, it says something. And this is the Alston case, and this doesn't completely immediately blow up amateurism, but it certainly gets us closer, and it's the language that's used. This is just coming out right now with all this stuff. And this, I can't believe I'm doing this, but this is Brett Kavanaugh, who says, Traditions alone cannot justify the NCAA's decision to build a massive money-raising enterprise on the backs of student athletes who are not fairly compensated. Nowhere else in America can businesses get away with agreeing not to pay their workers a fair market rate on the theory that their product is defined by not paying their workers a fair market rate. And under ordinary principles of antitrust law, it is not evident why college sports should be any different. The NCAA is not above the law. Well, so I guess I was today old when I'm nodding along in agreement with Justice Brett Kavanaugh. But that is 9-0. Wow. This is the
National
NCAA Vanderbilt. The national debate about amateurism in college sports is important, but our task as appellate judges is not to resolve it, nor could we. Our task is simply to review the court judgment through the appropriate lens of antitrust law. So that seems to be about what's done here. So that upholds the injunction against the NCAA based on established antitrust principles. Now, there's going to be a lot of words about what happens now and what this means. It was Neil Gorsuch writing the opinion, and then there are concurring opinions as well. So this invalidates a portion of NCAA amateurism rules. The NCAA can no longer bar colleges from providing athletes with education-related benefits like paid postgraduate internships. So this obviously changes what the way business is going to be done, and every smarter people than I will now be sorting out exactly how. But it's a unanimous ruling that the NCAA's strict limits on compensating college athletes violate the law. So that is Maybe this leads to unionization and some form of fair pay, but that's probably the biggest story in sports right now. When we come back, the other story is the MLB Now, starting today, is when umpires are going to be checking pitchers, going to be checking catchers, going to be checking position players. They're investigating and sniffing out all the sticky, icky goo that is being used to spin pitches at abnormal rates. And some of the best analysis of what the stuff does and why it does what it does and what the risks may be to pitchers now, what pitchers are going to have to deal with now. There is a former pitcher, former journeyman sidearm reliever, Peter Moylan, on Friday had some outstanding analysis of it. I don't know that I agree with all of it, but it is a pitcher's perspective on what this stuff has been doing and what may happen without it. And it's really worth a listen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Compelling stuff. Going to bring that to you next on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Morning Show.
Mully
and Hall here.
We're with you every morning on your way to work, live at 5.
We've got the day's biggest Chicago sports stories to start your day off right.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And on your device or smart speaker through the Odyssey app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Yeah, we just worry about what we do here, you know, so we're all prepared for what's going to happen. I think we're interested to just see how it goes, how they go about it, I guess, you know, when we get checked and all that. But I've always been a guy, never needed anything or used anything, so luckily I haven't had to make an adjustment. But it is what it is, you know, everybody has their things. I just hope there's no injuries, like kind of everyone's saying. You hate to see guys injured in the game. So as long as that can be avoided, whatever happens, happens.
No sweat for Kyle Hendricks. If you don't use anything, you don't need anything. And so he's just going to allow himself to be checked and say, all right, you know, go ahead. I'm not using anything. Feel free to check me out. But this is the day. This is the day that they're coming to get the goo, and they will be punishing people with a 10-day immediate ejection and a 10-day suspension with pay. And as we're following this breaking story today about the unanimous Supreme Court ruling against the NCAA, I just want to mention here, as we're, and this is as this goes in the various news cycles, we're going to figure out what the actual ramifications are of this. And Andrew Brandt's doing a good job covering this, and he says, will this decision allow schools to pay student athletes? No. Will this decision allow the next lawsuit to go there, absent much loosening by the NCAA? Yes. So he, and he reads through what Justice Kavanaugh says, welcoming that challenge, expanding the scope of the possibility by saying the NCAA's remaining compensation rules also raise serious questions under the antitrust laws. So a justice doesn't have to say that. But when in a concurring opinion, he points out the remaining rules also raise serious questions, that's almost inviting a case to be brought. And it's not handled in the scope of the Alston case, but that's just really telling somebody if you want, if there is another case that may bring that to their attention, that they're ready to strike down more of it. So today, the baseball officials are going to start checking for stuff. So if you need a primer as to what pitchers have been doing with substances and what the ramifications are, this was a chunk of video that popped up on Friday on Bally Sports Southeast. And this is former Major League reliever Peter Moylan talking about what these substances do and what's going to happen in their absence.
I'm going to try and stay as calm as I can, and I want to just let everyone know that I am not an expert, I am not a scientist, I am just giving you my opinions and my experiences, okay? Now let's talk about what this is. This is a baseball. This is a brand new, out-of-the-box, white baseball, okay? What it has, you're not going to be able to see it a little bit, but what it has a little bit of shine on it. So what they do to get rid of the shine is they rub it with mud. Now, you'd think that's fine, right? But the problem is, there is zero consistencies in the way they rub it up. They will either have a clubhouse kid rub it up one day, they'll have a different guy rub it up the next day. It could be rubbed up 2 days before the game, who knows? So by the time you get that baseball, the actual mud has lost any of its benefit because it's now just become a sandy, dusty, brand new baseball. Okay, so you use the sweat and rosin method. You rub a bit of sweat, you get some rosin, and you're supposed to take the tackiness, so you're supposed to get some tackiness. All that then does is rub the mud that they've put on the baseball off, and then you're stuck with this baseball. And you know, BJ, once you get a pearl in your hand, you cannot control that baseball. You can think that you're going to throw a sinker and it's going to cut. You can think you're going to throw a cutter and it's going to sink. So the issue that I've got is that Major League Baseball have taken away the one thing that we had that allowed us to grip the baseball. I'm not talking about get extra spin. I'm just talking about being able to grip the baseball, okay? My personal experiences. 2006, I come to the big leagues. I pitched from 2006 to 2010 with absolutely nothing, just sweat and just rosin, right? I then have a couple of years of injuries. I come back. 2013, I'm in spring training with the Dodgers, and I can't throw a breaking ball. I don't know why. I try everything. I'm just, everything I can, and I'm just thinking that it's the thin air in Arizona, right? Turns out I go to AAA, and I'm having the same issue. Someone introduces me to sunscreen and rosin, and all that did, it didn't allow me to spin the ball anymore or throw any harder. All that did was allow me to go back to the pitcher that I was from 2006 to 2007, and the numbers prove it. My velocity didn't increase. My spin didn't increase. I was just the same guy that I was 5 years earlier, okay? Fast forward to now, and guys have taken it too far. I completely understand. They've introduced sticky substances that do not belong on baseballs, and it's turned a pitcher that would have had a 2,400 RPM curveball into someone who can throw a 3,000 RPM curveball, which has effectively turned you into a different pitcher. So you cannot do that, and I'm all for outlawing that sort of stuff.
Now, right. Speaking of sticky ticky, you heard the comment that Tyler Glasnow made, one of the top pitchers in the league who throws 100 miles an hour. He's saying you're taking the sticky-ticky away, and now that caused the injury to me. He was pretty bold by saying that.
Because of his grip, right,
talk
Brian?
Talk about that. Yeah, because of
the way he had to grip the baseball,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
he's effectively gone from when you have a little bit of sticky on your fingers or a little bit of tack on your fingers, when you're going to release the baseball, you're not gripping it. You're not gripping tight. You're just effectively laying your fingers on the baseball, and it's coming off your fingertips, okay? So now what he's having to do without having any stickum or any kind of tacky on his fingers is he's having to get that ball right deep back into his hand, and he's having to squeeze it with more pressure. And where does that pressure go?
Right
from your
there.
Fingers, right down the forearm, straight into the elbow. All right?
Yeah.
So what he said is absolutely believable. And what he said, I've experienced it myself. I went to spring training with Houston. I was a little bit overweight. I got a sore foot. I ended up having to change my mechanics. I lifted my arm angle up, and I blew out 2 weeks later. So this is a real thing. Any kind of minuscule change in your mechanics or in the baseball or in your grip or in your release can have massive effects. And I don't think MLB understands that.
That's Peter Moylan on Bally Sports Southeast. And there's stuff in there I agree with. There's stuff in there. There's some leaps that I don't necessarily agree with that may sound plausible, but we don't know whether or not they are true. And a lot of it has to do with what we now know about grip and release in general because of edgertronic cameras, because of the way that these pitching coaches and pitching scientists and pitch designers understand the nature of grip. You don't choose to release a baseball from your hand. You don't decide to release it. A grip is a pathway by which the ball escapes your hand once you reach a certain velocity. That's what they now know is happening. You whip your arm through because of the way your fingers are arrayed on the baseball, certain things are going to happen to it. That there are certainly, obviously, a knuckleball is going to be different. A spike curve is different if you're flicking a finger. You can apply different pressure with your fingers, but they now know that you're not deciding to release it. It comes out the way it comes out once your arm reaches a certain speed. And I don't know about gripping a ball harder to try to release it differently if that is part of the famous kinetic chain that can result in more injuries. What's going to happen now with everything is we're going to gather data. We're going to watch. And the problem is that a guy might have a bad day. Like I was watching Dylan Cease and watching him pull some pitches and lose some pitches, and our minds are all going to wander, and a guy's going to have a bad day, and you're going to think, well, maybe this is maybe he was relying on this. And I was thinking about it every time Craig Kimbrel comes out there, knowing he had that big spot on his hat, and knowing that a guy who'd been in pitch lab and a guy who'd been working with his and trying to fix everything and increase his spin rate and had increased his spin rate, and you wonder, although that looked pretty good to me yesterday if with a clean hat. Looked pretty good, you know, spinning that thing out 99 miles an hour. So when we don't know which baseball they're using, and I know every time we talk about this, it's always, I think it's, you know, usually Layla's reflex to always point out that this is all independent of which ball it is. And whether baseball knows what they're doing with the ball or whether they're just incompetent and not tracking the lot numbers and not knowing which generation of baseballs it may be, we're going to see. The other thing we're going to see is we did learn, and it was Rob Arthur who has been at the forefront of some of this. Rob Arthur said that balls that were loaded up with the ticky-tack were not flying as far because they were grabbing the air. That makes total sense. A stickier baseball is also going to stick to the air more. And if you're talking about 6 feet of travel on average less, not only were guys better equipped to miss bats, when they did hit the bat, when the bat did hit the ball wasn't going as far. So we're going to watch all of it now. You can just mark this down as a data gathering point on whatever spreadsheet you're using to determine who's doing what. But there's going to be some changes to valuations, especially ahead of the trade deadline. I mean, think about what the decisions you have to make on guys and the intelligence you have to have, the number of phone calls you have to make about, you know, and whether or not you're going to have between now and the end of July, now the trade deadline, you're going to have to look at this and say, look at every StatCast measurement of spin rate and ball travel, everything a guy throws to know what you're getting. The pre-crackdown to post-crackdown, for what are you trading and how are you valuing it? How are you deciding who to pay for what they do? So These are going to be interesting times in baseball, and it's going to affect the timing of games. We're going to see when relievers come in, how they're going to do it, how they're going to work these guys over. What's the pat down going to be? Is it standardized? Is every ump trained to do it the same way? And how actively and aggressively is every umpire going to be looking for it? And every around the horn and every exchange that goes on, say, did he touch this? He touched that? What was the chain of custody? Who touched it where? Who might have applied something to the ball? This is a new time for baseball, and you just got to be hopeful that and obviously every team has certain guys that you're going to suspect, because if they're saying that 80-90% of baseball players have been doctoring the ball in a certain way and this is just how they play now, my hope is that it all ends up being less than we thought, and it ends up not mattering as much. But one thing we know about this game is it's usually not the case when they do things, and the unintended consequences obviously outweigh the intended ones, because baseball under Rob Manfred has just sort of lurched in different directions without trying to consider all the possibilities. So here's hoping, I guess, and we'll find out. Danny Parkins is going to join us. It's a big week for him in the What About Chicago Radiothon benefiting Austin Harvest. He's going to tell us all about what they're doing. He's put a ton of work into this, and maybe we'll get around to talking some sports with him as well, because, sports, it's what we do. It's the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. I'm solo with you this week with Layla on vacation. This is Sports Radio 670, WSCR, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.